Welcome to the Accra Community Church podcast. As you listen to God's word today, may it become for you fresh water for your thirsty soul, give you hope to cope, and wisdom to thrive, excel, and become everything God says you are. God bless you as you listen to today's sermon.
Today, my topic is manifesting divine favor. Manifesting divine favor. And if you remember this year, our theme for the whole year is growth. And we've been approaching it month by month based on the acronym G-R-O-W-T-H. We looked at the first one, the G, which was God or knowing God or growing in God. Then we went to the second one, which is rising up to our calling. Now we're on the third one, the O. And the O stands for others. Others and our neighbors. Others and neighbors. And so I'll be trying to do today's word, manifesting divine favor, in the context of others and neighbors. So you're not manifesting for yourself per se, but manifesting for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God, and for others to see, basically being a witness. As also Fuenke was praying in the earlier meeting, before the meeting began, he led us in prayer. He prayed and he actually said about witnessing. It's not about carrying your Bible and going around. It's about how you live your life. It's about your story. It's about your testimony. People see that and they see that, oh, truly, God is at work in this person's life. So today's word, I think it's a really important word. It's something that I am growing in and I trust we'll all grow in. But it's also one of those things where it takes the Holy Spirit to help us catch it. So I really pray that Holy Spirit will help us today, that we'll catch it and we can all run with it. Amen. So manifesting divine favor. What is divine favor? What is it in the first place? I tried to put together from various sources, various thoughts, something that will capture what divine favor is. And this is what I have. It is the grace of God shown towards us in God's kindness, his affections, and his goodwill made available to those who put their trust in him. It is the grace of God shown towards us in God's kindness, his affections, and his goodwill made available to those who put their trust in him. It is freely given to us in Christ Jesus. And it opens us up to experience unusual kindness, unusual acceptance, and unusual access to all of God's resources. All his resources, spiritual resources, emotional resources, intellectual resources, physical resources as well, including men and women. He gives us access to people as well. So that's divine favor. So in a nutshell, it is all of God being given to us. So we mere human beings have access to all of God's resources, and he gives to us freely. The definition of grace is unmerited or undeserved favor. So when you hear favor, it is grace. Hallelujah. So today I pray that God will help us so that we can all begin to manifest his divine favor. Amen. What is manifestation? Actually, from a medical point of view, I would say that manifestation is a clinical term. When a medical person sees somebody, you come and you see me and you tell me, well, I have this, I have that, I have that. I examine you and I see this, I see that, I see that. We say you are manifesting something. And because of those things that you have said and I have seen, I'm able to tell that this thing is in your body. I can't see it because it's inside your body. Maybe it's hypertension. Maybe it's diabetes. Maybe it's a cancer. Maybe it's an infection. So we say manifestation of disease. So the disease is inside you. As a human being, I can't see inside you and see what is there. But based on what is showing on the outside, maybe yellowing of your eyes, maybe a puffy face, maybe you've told me that your urine is dark. With those manifestations, those physical signs, I'm able to tell that, I think there's a problem here or there's a problem there. Do you get it? So manifestation suggests that there's something hidden. There's something unseen to the physical eyes. That's at work somewhere, but something brings it out. There are signs of it. There are symptoms of it. There are clues that give away that there's something happening inside there, though you cannot see with your eyes. That's what manifestation is. So we talk about manifestation of the favor of God, or manifesting divine favor. It means that, or actually tells us that there is something inside of us that no one can see, but that has to come out. Amen. Very important to understand that. Because as Christians, the moment we give our lives to Christ Jesus, we are reconciled to God. By the grace of God, his kindness, and his mercies, we are brought out of darkness, out of a place of death and condemnation, into his light and his kingdom, into eternal life. And he gives us his Holy Spirit within us. So once you've come to Christ Jesus, I tell you that the grace of God is at work in your life already. But it takes the Holy Spirit to make you appropriate that grace by faith. If not, you wouldn't have become saved in the first place. So the moment you are born again, you are saved. I can assure you that the divine favor is already at work in your life. Otherwise, you wouldn't have believed the gospel. Otherwise, you wouldn't have received it. The Holy Spirit is at work in you. That's why you believed. That's why you received Christ. So every one of us, we have divine favor at work in us already. The question is, are we manifesting divine favor or not? That is the question. Are we manifesting divine favor or not? As for being there, it's there. It's there. It can be hiding, it can be latent, but it's waiting to come out. Hallelujah. The scripture shall say that the whole world is waiting in eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. That is God's expectation. That all of us who are in Christ will manifest our kingdom nature. We will manifest this favor that is inside of us. Amen. In Luke chapter 4, 14 to 19, we find Jesus Christ having been baptized, led into the wilderness, and then as he came down to begin his ministry, from verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, we are told this. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. Now listen carefully. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. That's what Jesus said. And that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Then he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and then he sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. And this is what he said. The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. So Jesus says that by his coming into the world, he has brought the favor of God to all men. So the favor of God is already here. If you've received Christ and you are in him, you've received the favor of God already. John chapter 1, 14 to 17. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace. In the Amplified version, when you see grace, put into brackets, unmerited favor. The Derby translation even uses favor instead of grace. So when you see grace, it's actually favor. Jesus came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So favor has come to us already. It says, John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Out of the fullness of Christ, we have all received favor in place of favor already given. For the law was given through Moses, but favor and truth came through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm making a point that if you are in Christ, you have already received divine favor. But you can't see with your eyes. It's a spiritual reality. It's inside of your heart. Romans 5, 1 to 2 and 17. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, into this divine favor in which we now stand. So it's a done deal. When you are in Christ, you have obtained favor. You have obtained grace and you stand in that favor. Hallelujah. So we are all standing in favor and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace, of favor, and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So there's enough favor and grace for us in Christ to reign in this life, every single one of us. That's what the Bible says. Romans 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That is favor. Goodwill towards us. He works for our good all the time. Who have been called according to his promise and his purpose. Again, favor and grace there. You didn't work for it. You were called. It was a free gift. For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You see, he predestined us. So it wasn't about us. It wasn't our effort. It wasn't our works. That again is grace. That is favor. You were chosen. You were picked up to conform to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. All this God did for us freely because of favor, because of his goodwill towards men. Hallelujah. So it goes on to say, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That is favor. God is for us. God is for you. That is divine favor. He's not against you. God is for us. Hallelujah. And he says, because he is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Do you see how God thinks about us? Are you beginning to see his affection towards you? You see how God feels about you? He loves us. He wants us. He chose us. His thoughts towards us are for our good. Hallelujah. It's goodwill, goodwill, goodwill. It's favor, favor, favor. God wants the best for us. So he goes on to say this. Who then is the one who condemns us? Then he says, no one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's talking about you and I who are in Christ Jesus. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He loves us. And his strength is at work for us. Hallelujah. He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. This is the God whom we are talking about. And this is how he feels about us. This is how he has demonstrated his love towards us. His grace, his divine favor shown towards us in our salvation, but more than that, unto the future, assuring us that we will see his glory. Amen. Peter also said some things. It wasn't only Paul who said things. It wasn't only Jesus. 2 Peter 1 verse 3, we read this from verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Again, see, we received it. We didn't work for it. That's favor. Verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. God's favor, God's unmerited favor, that's grace, and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. It wasn't because we deserved it. It wasn't because we were good, but his own goodness. That is divine favor. Out of his goodness, he called us. Through this, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. Did you hear that? We have been gifted the divine nature in Christ Jesus. You and I have the right to participate in the divine nature. That's what this is talking about. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And there is more. So this one is actually more like a Bible study, trying to convince you that, listen, God's favor is at work in your life if you have received Jesus Christ. Because in Christ Jesus, God gave us his all. Hallelujah. He gave us this grace in which we now stand. There's more, but I think probably some are getting bored by all the scriptures. So I'll move on and then talk about how then do we manifest divine favor? If it's there in us already when we are in Christ, why aren't we experiencing it? Why don't we feel like we are walking in favor? And the answer is simple, because we do not understand. Hallelujah. There's understanding that we must get. I love that song, I Know Who I Am by Sinash. It says everything I want to say this morning. It says everything. It says everything. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in favor, right? Because I know who I am. That's what it is. When we know our identity, when we understand what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, when we understand our position in Christ, then we are in a place, in a position where we can appropriate it, where we can walk in that favor. We're in a position where we can manifest the favor. So first of all, we need to receive that favor. If you are here, you haven't given your life to Christ Jesus, it's an opportunity for you. You want to manifest divine favor, the grace of God in your life, you need to come to Jesus. Because God has freely given everything in Christ Jesus. You don't have to work for it. It's not about observing any Ten Commandments or any rules. It's not about fasting and prayer. No. It's not about giving things to the poor. No. It's not even about stopping this and that and that and that and then coming to him. No. As you are, if you believe in your heart and you are ready to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, in that self same moment, freely you receive the grace of God by faith. Freely, divine favor becomes your portion. Hallelujah. When the angels announced when Christ had been born, they said, joy to the earth, right? And then the line that says that, and on earth, goodwill to all men. Christ coming has brought the goodwill of God to us. Hallelujah. Come to Christ and you will be saved. That's the first thing. And once you have done that, or if you have already done that, then the next thing is what I said. You have to understand what you have been given in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 13 verse 15 says something very important. It says that good understanding brings favor. We are talking here about divine favor. It also depends on good understanding. Good understanding brings favor. But the way of the faithless is hard. If you do not have favor, you will suffer in this life. Life will be hard. Listen, I know personally people who've got millions of dollars, but their life is hard. So when we're talking about divine favor, it's not the usual sense where God has favored you so you've got a lot of money, so you've got mansions, so you've got all the cars you want. No, it's not about that. It's a tiny aspect of it. Favor itself, we will see the symptoms and the signs of favor later on. But you need to understand. And understand well. It says good understanding. And that is where favor comes. So favor is not from physical things. It's a spiritual thing. It's a heart thing. It's an understanding in your heart. The inner man. In your heart, you understand and know who you are. Hallelujah. In the eyes of God. You know what God has done for you. You know what he has given you. You understand that in Christ you have all things. You understand that in him you are complete. You see, it's a knowing. No one can give that to you. It is the Holy Spirit who opens your heart. And suddenly you see it. Suddenly you know it. So no wonder the apostles always prayed for us. Always praying, praying, praying. Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 15 to 22. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's how it comes. The Holy Spirit, who helped you believe in Christ and gave you faith to receive him, that same Holy Spirit gives us revelation to understand who we are in Christ. It says, wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. It's a heart thing. It's a spiritual thing. So we speak it, we teach it, but it's prayerfully that as we are doing that, the Holy Spirit will give illumination, hallelujah. That revelation will come. That enlightenment will come to our hearts. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Hallelujah. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. This is what we have. It's better than gold. It's better than silver. It's better than houses. I'm telling you. What we have in Christ Jesus, this is our glorious inheritance. It's rich. It's called divine favor. It opens every door. It gives you anything you want. But on top of that, it doesn't add sorrow to it. Those who get those things outside of him, outside of Christ, they are never complete. They get all those things, but I tell you, they are not satisfied. They are not at peace. They are not at rest. It's not the same. But when you catch this one, even with little, you know you have enough. You know you have everything. It's a heart thing. It's a spiritual thing. And we can enjoy it in the spirit. And that alone is good enough. But actually, we can also manifest it for others to see. And that's what God wants us to get to. Hallelujah. But let me finish this one. He says that, not in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for who? For the church. For you and I. All this authority and power, all that God has given him, is for us. That's divine favor. That's goodwill towards us. Brothers and sisters, we are in a good position. We are in a good place. For the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And my time is almost up, and there's so much more to say. But Tuesday night, we'll go into details. So let me just quickly brush through the rest. Okay? There's so many scriptures, because I said it's more of a Bible study. So Tuesday will be very good. It will be a nice Bible study for us. But in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 12, he again tells us that these things are spiritual things which the Holy Spirit gives to us while in Christ Jesus. He says the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And the Spirit who is from God has come to us. We've received it so that we may understand what God has freely given us. I dare say 99% of us Christians don't understand what God has freely given us. We don't understand. We don't know the riches of his glories in Christ Jesus. We settle with just the salvation. We will die and go to heaven. But if we know what is inside that salvation, Hebrews calls it the things that accompany salvation. If we understand it, we'll be flying. We'll be reigning in life. And that's where God wants us to get to. He wants us to reign in life. Remember the parable Jesus told of the prodigal son? Remember the elder brother? He was a son. He was in the house. He was an heir to everything. And yet he was suffering. He was struggling. And he exposed that when his younger brother came home. He said, all these years I have slaved for you. And you've never even killed a little goat for me. But this son of yours, so wicked and bad, took your money, squandered it on prostitutes. He's come back and you've made a feast for him. You've killed a fattened cow for him. What did the father say? He said, my son, you do not understand. Church, we do not understand. The son didn't understand. The father said, you do not understand. And his next words were, all that I have is yours. God have mercy. We are missing out, church. Christians, we are missing out. All that I have is yours. And yet we are crying. We are laboring. We are slaving just to get small from God. We don't understand the goodwill of God. We don't understand God's divine favor towards us as Christians. If we did, we would not be suffering. We would not be hustling. Because that elder brother could have killed a cow every day of his life. It's all his. It's all his. This is what divine favor does. It takes away the sweat. It takes away the struggle. We are doing the book of Hebrews, and we are seeing that in Christ we get rest. Divine favor gives you rest. It gives you rest from your labors. You don't sweat anything at all. Because you know that God has given you everything in Christ. But how do you manifest it? It's not enough to just know and understand it. How do you manifest it? Give me 5 minutes. It means we overshoot our time today a bit. But I need 5 minutes more. First of all, I'll just mention them. Tuesday night, we'll go into details. Right thinking. Right believing. It's what's in the heart. That's how we start. Understanding these things and knowing them, mixing them with faith, as Hebrews tells us. He said they heard these things, but they didn't mix it with faith, so it was of no effect to them. If it's going to be of effect to us, we have to mix it with faith. So right beliefs and faith. Number two, as we believe right, we've got to speak right. The words that we speak activate the things that we believe in our heart. How do we get saved? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You activate salvation that way. That's how we activate everything else. Whether it's righteousness, whether it's sanctification you are looking for, whatever it is, believe right. Think right about it. Mix with faith. And then confess the right thing. Hallelujah. So words that we speak out. But also the words we speak to ourselves. Our self-talk is very important. And then our self-image, how we see ourselves. Then there has to be what we call emotional conformity with it. By faith, because you have received what you have asked for, you begin to have the joy, the pleasure of someone who has received the thing. That's how you prove your faith. It is the substance of the things that you hope for. It's the evidence of what you haven't seen physically yet. But because in your spirit you have seen it, you begin to rejoice. That is a sign that you truly believe. But if you ask for it, you see it in your mind's eye, you speak it out, and then you go crying again. You go lamenting again. It means you haven't really received it yet. Jesus said, anything you ask for in my name, believe that you have what? Received it. And what? You will have it. This is how to activate it. You must believe. And it affects how you see it. It affects your emotions. And then it affects your actions. So Tuesday night, we're going to detail in all these things. How do we activate it? What kind of actions will show that you truly believe? Go and get empty jars. Oh, no, how is it possible? Nothing will happen. You go and get 2 jars, you get 2. Actions. You get 5 jars, you get 5. You get 1,000 jars, you get 1,000. So the actions must also conform with what you believe. So it's real that God wants us to enjoy these things. He's giving it to us, but it doesn't happen automatically. We must know how to activate them and receive them. And so in Galatians 4, we are also told that we all have received these things from God. But we are like babies. An heir who's underage. When you come of age, it will be given to you. But until you come of age, somebody, a guardian, will take care of it for you. It's yours, so by sitting there, you never appropriate it. We must grow. Hallelujah. And finally, for those who may not join us on Tuesday, I want to touch on this briefly. We must be able to protect these things. And there are some things that come to steal the divine favor from us. And they are basically the flesh. Because these are spiritual things. If you dwell on the flesh and the fruit of the flesh, it steals it from you. And the enemy will use things like unbelief. Doubt, you will not enter into it. Depending on your own strength, you will not enter into it. Depending on human connections and other spirits, you will not enter into it. And then things like pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, envy, jealousy, all those things, they steal because they are of the flesh. And these things are spiritual. Hallelujah. So these things come in and they block divine favor from working in our lives. Anger, fear, anxiety, wickedness. And then selfishness, stinginess. One of the ways of releasing divine favor is generosity, liberality. You know, these are basic principles, but we ignore them, and so we are not able to really manifest divine favor. But if somebody is really manifesting divine favor, what will you see? What are the signs and symptoms that you see and say, ah, this person is working divine favor? I said it's not their houses. It's not their cars. It's not their money in their bank account. Rather, it's the little things that show the Spirit's work in their lives. It's things like love. It's things like righteousness, their sanctification. You can see their life has changed. They don't chase girls anymore. They don't get drunk anymore. They don't steal anymore. They don't take bribes anymore. There's something at work there. You don't see the thing, but you know it's there. Because you see a changed life. Hallelujah. Then there's their joy. Remember, you can get it from other sources, but it doesn't come with joy. So the signs that this person is working divine favor is that the things will come and there will be joy as well. There will be peace because they are at rest. These are the signs. And if you realize that they are the fruit of the Spirit, there will be patience. There will be kindness. There will be generosity. There will be faithfulness. There will be gentleness. There will be self-control. And there will be extraordinary exploits. It's important because other people can get the things that we think is favor. They can get their good jobs. They can get their cars. They can get their houses. They can get $1 million in their account. It's very possible. But I'm telling you, the way you will know if it's divine or from another source is to look out for these things. These are the signs and symptoms that will show manifestations of divine favor at work in a person's life. If it's divine, the fruit of the Spirit will be there. Their marriage will be sweet and beautiful. Their home will be nice. There'll be laughter, there'll be joy, there'll be freedom. If that is missing, there's a problem. There's a problem. There'll be joy, there'll be peace, there'll be patience. Because if you get it from any other way, it comes with trouble. It's only God who gives those breakthroughs we are looking for and adds no sorrow to it. We'll end here for today. And I pray that God will help us, that all of us who are in Him, because we are in Him, we know that we have this divine favor. That He opened our eyes of understanding to realize what He has given us. And that we'll be able to activate it and walk in it and enjoy it. Because that way, others and our neighbors will see. They'll see this fruit. They'll see the blessings. And then they'll be drawn. You become a witness. And then they come to Christ. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for divine favor. We thank you that you have given us all things in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that we who are in Christ stand today in this grace. We stand in this favor. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to beg for it. We don't have to chase it. You have freely given us this favor. We ask, Lord, that you teach us to walk in it. You teach us to manifest your divine favor. That the scripture that says the whole world is waiting eagerly for the manifestation of the sons of God will become true. We will manifest in this world and will draw people to you. I pray for those who haven't come into Christ yet. I pray that today you stir up faith in their hearts, O God, that they will make a response to you. They will believe in their heart and they will confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah and amen. So if you are here and you haven't yet come to Christ, I invite you to come talk to me at the end so we can do something about that. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. If it blessed you, share it with a friend. For more information on how to fellowship with Accra Community Church, visit our website, www.accrachurch.org. God bless you.